Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good weekend, good day, good morning to everyone. I want to say thank you for joining us again here at Blog Talk Radio. My name is A. Trey, and I'm a host for On Point. And today we want to talk to you a little bit. And you know what? I really would like to hear some of your opinion, some of your input, because there's something that's been kind of bugging me, and a lot of people actually. It's the whole issue with too much government in the office and at home. And so today in our State of Our Union, we're going to be asking, why is the government between my sheets? It's a simple thing, you know, because in today's society, it's almost commonplace to tell everyone what you're doing. And everyone feels as though they have the right to express how they feel about your situation, even though they all wish to maintain a degree of anonymity for and of about themselves, citing that it's an invasion of their privacy. But what about the ones who are so power hungry to make others look at most everything from their point of view that they've allowed the dogs of indiscretion to run wild, just run wild in the streets rampant? And before long, they'll turn on their masters and brutalize them too. An old cliche once said, be careful for what you wish for, because you just may get it. Organizations like the LGBT, the NRA, and other groups have taken it upon themselves to use the state and federal government as their own personal platforms to air their opinion. And worse yet, try and make those things law. So that's what we're going to address. We're going to try to get into that today. This lady, Ann Pierce, back in 2004, thought that it was a good thing to have schools not pay attention to God. She believed that that it was a violations of people's individual rights in order for them to, if they had to worship in a place that was where they had their education, where they had their education. And that wasn't the case. So they decided to take, and there were other people, but Ms. Pierce was one of those individuals that you call instrumental. And, She decided to influence an entire federal court that it was against the America's first constitutional rights to pledge the allegiance. That's where it started from, to pledge the allegiance. And this kicked off in the early 90s with another woman who's no longer around. And the question was, why? What was the purpose? I mean, why would you put everyone in a position to see just your view and not respect their own individuality, not respect their rights to believe as they will, to worship as they will, to support as they will? And you can do that as long as you don't impede upon the well-being of another person or impede upon their own desires to acknowledge something that might not suit them. Then whatever you feel, believe, or what have you is cool. That's a perfectly good thing, and nobody can take that from you. If you believe that donuts should only be eaten if you're dunking them in chocolate milk, then hot damn it, let that be the reason. and you go ahead and just eat your donuts and chocolate milk, but you don't tell the rest of the world this should be the forefront. This is the only way to eat a donut, damn it, and don't nobody go against it, because that's unconstitutional. That's not respecting other people's individual right. That is the thing that goes against the grain of what actually makes America great. Mr. Trump, you're stupid, because let's make America great again. Everybody else is working to keep up, but I digress nonetheless. These things are crazy. LGBT, these individuals, when I use that term loosely, it's not a person. And if you believe this is homophobic, then so be it, you can. I don't give two god pennies about it. This isn't homophobic. This is realistic. This is life impending. How do you tell a man, how do you sue a man for not believing what you believe, for not having the same ideal as you, for not wanting to deal with something the same way that you deal with? That's unacceptable. See, This lady, Ellen LaRicci, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm not, forgive me, sue me. It won't stick. She decided she was going to take up the mantle of being the champion for the LGBTQ. And that's cool. You can do that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that kind of just pissed me off about it. She decided that it was perfectly okay to start suing people for what she believed. How do you do that? If somebody says, you know what, we're not going to allow you to walk inside of here with your shirt tied up like that, that's unacceptable. So you take it against a whole group of people. And mind you, being homosexual is not a race. It's not an ethnicity. It's a matter of life being. It's a lifestyle. You know what I mean? It's a lifestyle. Like if you're rich and your family was rich before you, and then your family before them were rich, and they passed that money on, and you got 2 mansions, 15 cars, a sailboat, 2 yachts, you know, a camper, and 3 Xboxes. Yeah. That's a lifestyle. And you say, no, I didn't choose this. This is just who I am. Well, so be it. You're rich. Wonderful. Great, great, great. But because somebody else says, you know, I only want 1 Xbox. I don't need a yacht. I only need 1 car because I can only drive 1 at a time. How in the hell do you perk your lips to form a thought to go against that person for not believing the exact same way you do and believe it's cool? Oh, hell no. That's not cool. And how do you as a group, and it's not an individual person, but a group of individuals who decided that they were going to speak so loudly that they were going to influence everyone that's similar to them to feel the same exact way, when that's probably not the case. In the boardroom, what you do behind closed doors has no effect on the boardroom. It shouldn't. Because When I'm in the bedroom and I'm doing my thing with the whipped cream and the strawberry jelly and you know, the chains on the chandeliers that, you know, have with the cocoa butter and the peaches. Yeah, that has nothing to do with anybody at my job. They don't need to know that. That's not something for them to even envision. So think about it. I go to work, and a guy comes in. He's not qualified for the job, but he still has his chains on from what he was doing in the bedroom. He still has his strawberry, you know, jello with him for the things he was doing in the bedroom. And he still has the whipped cream. And he says, wait a minute, let me see if I got this right. I can't have this job because you don't think I'm qualified. I think it's because you don't like what I do in my bedroom. You think that what I do in my bedroom, how I get down in my bedroom, is an offense to you and everything around you, so I'm going to sue your ass. And for some damn reason, it works. You can't agree, you can't disagree with his bedroom lifestyle or her bedroom lifestyle. And so now it controls what's happening at work. And it goes deeper. But I'm going to get off of it. The NRA. I'd like for you to find how many people in the NRA are actually people of color. Asian, African Americans, Hispanic. How many? You know, the NRA has been fighting tooth and nail against our president to just not put any type of gun control into play. Now, every other place in the whole damn planet has gun control, and they're happy. They're okay. They're cool. Australia, they got it in place. It's cool. And people go there to visit. They have a happy country. They're proud of it, blah, blah, blah. You know, Norway, you can't even have one. You know, Ireland says, hey, it's not necessary to have a gun. And the only people who have them are their military, who's quiet as it's kept, and special units of their police. And here we're arguing with the president of the United States that he can't take away our guns. Their influence, that company, that organization, and mind you, they're a nonprofit organization that's just, let's make it simple, it's the damn gun club. You get a gun, you sign on, you become a member, you get a monthly letter. You get invited to places where you can go shoot your gun. Nothing more. Nothing more. They don't add to the well-being of our country. They don't do anything spectacular to make the cost of living come down. They don't have a damn thing to do with job security. They don't contribute to the betterment of our hospitals and our society. So what the hell are they good for? What are they for? What's their need? What is their purpose? And every Republican is on their jock. Yeah, I called them out. I don't care. I don't give two damns about them. Because you have a person that's working inside the White House, and it's not color. It's the person's ethics, his work ethics. And he's trying to keep it professional. And in so doing, you have people who believe, well, you know what? He's not a good person because he doesn't like the same way that we do stuff behind closed doors. He's not a good person because he believes that we don't have the right to carry guns like that. No, you don't need an M16. You don't need an AR-57. You don't need a 50 caliber. You don't need a 50 caliber machine gun to be walking down the street. You don't need an Eclipse. You don't need a Spectrum. You don't need that Daisy 22, and you don't need that. You don't need that AK. You don't need an Uzi. You don't need a Shark Spear. You don't need them. Why would you need that to walk down the damn street? Why do you need it at home? Hell, you got laws that say if you shoot a person, if they decide to get away, you shoot them, even though they're still on your property, that could send you to prison. A handgun, a 9mm Glock will do all right. That Saturday Night Special will do all right. That Glock will do all right. That .38 snub nose will do all right. That .45 caliber mag will do all right. That Smith & Wesson will do all right. That .357 Magnum where you aim at the toes and fire and it hits you in the throat, that'll do all right. You don't need all that extra stuff. It's not necessary because if somebody breaks in and they know you have it, they're trying to find it. So now the bad guys have it. And let's just keep it real. If the NRA is making money off of people who have these things, you know, ownership and so forth. There, a lot of their support goes down the drain if you can't sell those to just a common person on the street. You don't take away their guns, just a specific kind. What the hell does a police station need with a tank? But they got them. So I want to see somewhere on the law books where you have that kind of authority to ride a damn tank up into my house. Or maybe even to fire it. It hasn't been done yet, but know that they got the capability. Some places do that. These are things that the government have put themselves a part of. They've decided to implement into the everyday fabric of life. Orlando, travesty, all those people, innocent to the degree that they weren't hurting anyone. And some guy gets up, walks in, and shoots up everybody, 50 people, kills them, injures 53 others. It's 103 people. 103 people devastated by the actions of an individual who was able to have something on the street that shouldn't have been sold to him. Who needs an AR-15 on the street? And he walked up into the spot. And the president says, hey, that's too damn much. What do you need that for? And the NRA says, you can't take away our rights to carry. The American public won't stand for it. But you haven't offered a damn solution, people. You haven't put that together yet. You haven't said, here is something we can do to order to minimize the travesties that are consistently happening. They're becoming a regular part of everyday America. When your president comes down and says, you know, this is far too much. This man has had to face 5 different tragedies in his term in 8 years. 5 major tragedies. And no one has offered a damn solution. I got a solution. Make it illegal to own automatic rifles. Make it illegal to sell automatic arms. Anything that requires you to use your shoulder to shoot outside of hunting. Keep hunting at lodges. He can have 45, 45s, 121 magnums. Who gives a damn? But he can't have that Mac-10. It's not necessary. It's illegal to shoot a deer. It's illegal to shoot a deer. They will lock your monkey ass up if you shoot a deer with an AK. It's terrible. You're arrested. It's done. That's just foul. They will strip you of your rights to hunt. You can never have another license. That's real. Google it. That's real. That's the Fish and Games Department. Fish and Game. They said you can't do that. It makes no sense. It's not sporting. Now, let's look at that in a different context too. No. Keep it along the same line. You are there, and they know it. To hunt. You are there and they know that this is considered also a game. And you have a specific kind of weapon you can use. But you can't use anything else. So you ask yourself, how is the government allowing the deer to have more rights than the person walking the street? How does that work? How does that work? We have a caller joining us. Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Platea, I'm so glad that you're able to join us. I've been on my little soapbox this morning. And in our segment, State of Our Union, I was talking about why is the government between my sheets? And it's more metaphorical, but the thing is a lot of the things that happen with the government are, and I know you've been listening, but a lot of things that's been happening with the government are they affect our household, and they affect how we do things at home, and they affect things because of people's individual likes, wants, and dislikes. It affects how work goes as well. And there was always supposed to be something called a separation between state and religion. But
yeah.
But now we have individual organizations, PROCIS, NRA, LGBTQ, all of them have influence. These are personal places. They have influence over the government, and the government is starting to create laws that affect them, that are an effect for them against the public, to include the public, even without the public wanting it. They're between my sheets. They're at home. How do you feel about it?
I think that it's kind of a wide band. I mean, are there things that I think the government should stay out of? Absolutely. When trying to assess rights, I think groups are making broad decisions, trying to get things into play that should help the masses. But in all things, not everything is for everybody. So it's sort of a catch-22 in my book. I mean, there are definitely parts of all of the organizations that I may agree with, and then there are parts of the organizations that I don't agree with. So it's sort of, I can't say sweepingly how I feel.
Okay.
Because there's just so many topics that are set up in between all of that.
And I can see that. But let's look at the NRA. If you break it down, and I challenge everybody to Google, or just Google it, feel free. And thank you, caller. I see that you tagged in with us. I see another person. If you look at it, break it down to the lowest common denominator, it's a gun club. That's all it is. It's a gun club. They're not federally backed. They don't have a federal standing. But they have a lot to say about it. He said, well, we have lobbyists. Matters a damn. You are not a part of the federal government. You're an organization that the government recognizes that has an opinion. And after that, you shouldn't have anything else to say. Not a damn thing. So you look at it, and it's like, and there's their beginnings were, they had a bunch of people who were hunters who used to go out and kill stuff and blah, 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 and for the sport of it. And they said, hey, you know what? John, I saw you shot that deer today. Oh, yeah, I did, Bill. I did. I got him with my little snubby here. You know, I have myself an intro parasite scope, and it looks wonderful. I was able to shoot him at 500 yards. My God, he dropped like a rock. I said, oh, that's wonderful. Let's make a club. Let's get the other guys who are hunting. And then they decided to be discriminatory as to who they could let in. And the government backs these people? They listen to these people? You want gun control? Do this. Have everybody, even the dealers, the distributors, register every frickin' gun. Every single one. And every time they purchase a gun, they have to put it in on their registry name, and then make everybody that gets a gun register with the NRA. Oh, you're in America, so it's non-discriminate. You can't say no, damn it. You can't say no. And they say, well, why? This is a private institution because laws were made on your ideas. That's it. And watch how fast gun reform will change. Because when you stop and think about it, it's still a good old boy thing. Still a good old boy thing. And LGBT.
You're absolutely right.
how do you get everyone to agree with anything in the United States or in any government? I mean, we are, you know, a government body that is supposed to be, you know, controlled by its people, those that are being governed. But how do you get everybody all on the same page? I mean, it's hard enough in a household.
Apparently, you forced them. You forced them to. Apparently, that's how it works.
But the people who don't listen to the rules are the people that are, for the most part, we're worried about. So the people who don't listen to the rules aren't going to listen to that rule.
I can see that. I can see that. And that's here's the thing. I constantly question why everything that these organizations say has to even be taken into consideration.
Well, that's money.
I believe it's money, but some of them I don't see where the money comes from. I can't fathom where the money comes from. You know, I'm like, why is money even an issue where my well-being is concerned? The woman who said, "Hey, I don't think that the kids should pray in school anymore." Well, now you got a bunch of heathens running around. Yes, it's cool to say God is grace, God is good, and we thank you for our food. Amen. Wonderful. But what if my child's an atheist? Your child is not an atheist. You are. And the children that are coming up, you know, in school, and a lot of it is experiments. Just experiment. You got these children that are coming up in school, and you got seventh graders holding hands, two little girls holding hands, two little boys hugged up in a corner kissing and stuff, and they said, "Do not bother those children. They're experimenting. They're getting to know themselves." No, damn it. That's not getting to know themselves. You're going against their constitutional right. Show me somewhere in the Constitution where it says I have to let my kid kiss another kid and not say anything about it. Guy in New Hampshire was arrested because he spoke against his little girl kissing a little girl. She was in the eighth grade, the Connolly family. In the eighth grade, she doesn't know anything about her body yet. Well, a girl, she might. But the thing is, she doesn't know about these things. And they arrested the father because he told her, what you're doing is incorrect. This doesn't work. It's not right, baby. You can't do that. There's an order of things. And everything has an order. It just does. You go to the bathroom, you pull down your pants, you sit on the potty, then you relieve yourself. That's an order. So for them to say, they're offended by the word or the idea of order, that's crazy. And the government backs it up. Ooh, I hate that. But that's our time.